Let's try this. Ooh, just for fun. I'll pull the mic down when I do it. But on the count of three, let's just shout hallelujah, okay? You guys ready? Take a deep breath. You can handle it. Nobody's out here. The neighbors won't hear. They are still covered. Ready? One, two, three. Man, one of my favorite deals in life was to get up in the mountains and get on a tall cliff and rock and yell, "I'm a man of God!" And one time I did that and I heard clear on the other side, "Me too!" You never know who's watching. Praise God. Well, I'm going to read to you out of John 11, 25. It says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And we all said, "Yes, we do. We do." So the word resurrection, the first definition out is to stand again. To stand again. The Bible talks a lot about, we're going to take communion in a little while here, and we do this in remembrance of the Lord's death, but also remembrance of his resurrection. The Bible says if you'll die with him and in likeness with him, you will in likeness rise up with him. And for you and I, one of the most powerful things we can do is meditate and get a picture of the truth that Jesus actually died. He didn't go to sleep like Lazarus. He died. He died, I believe, in every way possible. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Bible indicates that every disease that would ever hit mankind hit his body. Bible says that he was so contorted that you couldn't tell he was a human being. And all that is, if you want to watch, you know, like the movie, it'll tear you up. I mean, how many remember the, what was that movie? And when they were whipping him, I remember people in the crowd just said, "Stop!" I mean, they just yelled out loud, "Stop!" But that wasn't anything compared to the reality of Jesus being separated from his Father. And he died, he died. And I think theologians argue about this, but to me it magnifies the beauty of what he did for us. When he rose from the dead, he stood again, but he did not stand the same that he was before. The Bible says that when he rose from the dead, he was a new creation. He was the firstborn of many in the church. His position in life, nobody knows, but he literally is not the same as when he was before. He holds a different relationship with God, and most of all, he busted open the opportunity for you and I to be born just like him. In every facet, we are. He's our brother. He's our elder. He's, the Bible calls him a forerunner. A forerunner is a guy that jumps off the ship first, grabs a small rope in his mouth, swims to shore, anchors it, brings in the bigger rope, and then everybody else gets to come in shore off of him. That's our brother Jesus. You know, and if we can get a hold of that, then people, you can, you'll stop saying things like, "God, are you there? Do you care? Are you going to come through?" Because you just know his heart. You know who he, and the Bible literally says, if God didn't withhold his son, he won't withhold one good thing from us. So if something's getting withheld from you, it is not God's side that's the problem. So don't give up and don't, you know, and just keep seeking him and believing. When he died, His faith was in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. That the Word would be true and the Spirit would be walk in truth in the nature. And he went to the grave without any ability to save himself. He went there knowing that if the Word wasn't true, he was gone forever. If the Spirit of God didn't fulfill what the Word said, then he was gone forever. And the Spirit of God went down, grabbed him, brought him up. The amount of power that was displayed there was more than anything this universe could ever come up with. And you think about the power of atomic bomb, you think about just the stars, all that. The power that took to raise Jesus from the dead was amazing. Nothing like it will ever happen again. And the Bible says that same power will work in you and raise you up. Hallelujah. And faith is how we get it appropriate. We don't, you know, just talking to Darlene this morning, you know, about, and the thought was already me. I want to just say to you, don't get what you deserve. Never say something like, well, I deserve better than this, because, man, you do not want what you deserve. Ever. Ever. Don't ever do something to God trying to deserve his grace, because you will cancel out the grace. It is a free gift, and nobody can. The only way you mess it up is by not accepting it as a free gift. If you try to get yourself clean to receive it, if you try to straighten out your life before receiving it, you will not receive it. And frankly, one of the reasons we struggle with getting healed sometimes is we're still trying to earn it. Instead of just receive it. We're going to take communion. When you do, some of you need healing in your body. When you take it, man, judge yourself rightly and just say, I don't deserve anything, but because Jesus paid a price, I deserve everything. And that's where my faith is. And I'm going to partake in his death from the standpoint I'm renouncing my abilities, I'm renouncing my fleshly efforts, I'm renouncing all anything of good that's in me. I renounce it. I want nothing to do with it. I'm totally depending on the Spirit of God to raise me up as a new creature in Christ Jesus with my big brother Jesus, and anything he's got's mine. Well, I tell you, that's what we get to do from now until we take our last breath, and I believe we'll do believing that after we take our last breath. One story. And I've forgotten some of the story. So those of you that know it real well, tell somebody the truth later, okay? But it'll be a good story anyway. But I think it was John G. Lake. I may be wrong, but it was a missionary to Africa that had gone through the bushes, tough things, and birthed churches and brought in birthed up pastors, raised them up. And then because of false accusations against him, all his support from England and America died. Somebody accused him of something and nothing came in. They wrote him off. And he gathered up around 50, 60 pastors. That sure could be wrong. But it was up there. He gathered them all up and said, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I have no support to give you. These people are totally up in the bush. They're totally dependent on that, and they live meagerly anyway. And he said, I don't know what, and he wept. He said, I don't know what I can do, you know. And they asked him to leave the room. And so he left the room, and they had a meeting. And they called him back in, and he said, here's the deal. We've made a decision. We're going to go. And we're going to go, and all we're asking is if we die, will you come bury us? And he said, I will. And they took off, and I believe he buried about half of them. And I thought about that. We identify with Jesus' death. You know, this building's going to stand again. And Kim prophesied over, prayed over, was going to pray restoration, and he prayed resurrection. And both of us kind of said, man, that's a building. It's not a person. But when you look at it, stand again, it fits, doesn't it? But even this building, when you and I get, when Jesus resurrected, he had similarities to his past, but he was a brand new creation. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying this building will stand again, and there'll be similarities of its past and all the goodness and all the people that went through, but it is also coming into a whole new dimension. Ministry is always the same. Preach the word, demonstrate by the Spirit, but it changes with culture. It changes with needs. And I believe God is saying, this building will serve you now for the ministry of building the kingdom of God in the future with all the changes that are coming. We'll be ready. We'll be equipped to do the work, to serve the people. And so we identify with Jesus saying, Lord, no longer I who live. No longer I who live. It's not my opinion, not my desires. No longer is it me. It is you living in me. And we are going for ultimate victory in every area we tread our feet on. Amen. There's a great harvest on the kingdom of God coming. And you and I, some of us are going to get to see it for a few decades. Some of you are going to get to see it for maybe 10 decades. But the kingdom will not fall, will not fail, will not slow down. And I know there's a lot of predictions and prophecies out there of all gloom and doom, but I'm telling you, we are on the winning side. We have faith. We're going to overcome everything. We're going for the win, amen, on every issue there is in front of us. That's what we're doing. Glory to God. All right, so we're going to take up ladies will come up or whoever and open up the table here. We're going to let you just come up and grab the cup and the bread, filter back to your chair, and then we'll take it together, okay? Oh, by the way, afterwards, the food truck's here. Somebody had it in their heart to buy you a meal, so it's all free. So enjoy, stick around. It may take them a little while. We had two trucks, one had to cancel. But we got nowhere to go today. Well, we do. We're going to go Colorado. But if those of you in a hurry, try to get in the line first, okay? And then when we get done, I'm just saying, so I might forget, you know, we'll throw some of these tables back underneath the shade for anybody over 50. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's a good day, isn't it? Man, it's so fun to see everybody here and to worship together. And you know, I'm excited about this, although I'm still in that mode of, like Jody was saying, it's like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of work. I'm looking at just putting the shelves in the closets. That drives me crazy. But I'm really pumped about the kingdom of God and the days that we have before us. We're going to see so many people not get religion, not just sign up to church, not just get that format. We're gonna see waves of people coming to a relationship with Jesus, with all that other stuff falling off, and just loving God and loving one another. And you guys cannot express to you from the Spirit of God in my heart saying, you have no idea how you're busting the darkness down by just the simple faith that you have all over the world. Amen.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood.
That changes and transforms our life is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story about Jesus. And all it takes to incorporate that power in you, and I say all it takes, but believe me, it's a lot of work to have faith. And faith comes by hearing the word over and over and letting it sink into your heart just like a seed into dirt, and then watering it until it grows and produces a harvest. Do not be frustrated with the process. It's required. So as we take this today, if you need healing in your body, if you need deliverance in finances, if you just need a deliverance from anxiety, fears, today as we do this, just let this moment renew your mind and let your heart take off and shed off the doubt and the disbelief and just simply declare, I'm a believer. And then whatever, and just see that power that raised Jesus from the dead touch your body, touch your finances, touch your mind, touch your family, and bring salvation to all. So let's stand. If you can, you don't have to. By the way, when Paul was addressing the Corinthians, he said, guys, you guys are taking communion wrong. You're sitting there fighting and fussing, and one person gets there and eats all the food, and then there's nothing left for anybody else. So I don't think they did the little cup thing like we're doing, you know. So we got a whole feast to come afterwards. But mostly what we want to do is judge ourselves properly, which says, I was nothing. I cried out to Jesus. I believe in him, and now I am a new creation and will never die. And I have the power of life inside of me. Praise the Lord. Father, as we take the cup representing and being your blood that fell to the earth, that paid for everything for us to be right with God again, no power on earth, no power in the heavens or beneath the earth can stop it. If we believe that your blood shed was shed for us, your life was poured out for us, as we drink this cup, we drink new life into our being and every facet of our being. And we take it now in faith that it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the blood within us is a flowing blood of life from our big brother Jesus. We take it together in unity and in love now. And Father, as we hold the bread, we know that your body was literally broken in every way possible. Every bit of darkness and shame, guilt, fears, sense of unworthiness, all came into your body. You drew it from all over the earth in past generations and future generations. All the darkness and the shame and the guilt came into you. And you took it upon your body, took it to the grave, and buried it to never be resurrected in our life again. And we just send away all shame, all guilt, all insecurity, all fear, all worry about what people think of us. We belong to you, and you belong to us, and we are thrilled to be one with Christ, and we partake of this body that way. And now, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, I bless these people, and I command that their bodies respond to the Word and to the Spirit of God. Quicken their bodies, quicken knees, elbows, gallbladders, pancreases, spinal columns, nervous systems, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver. We speak resurrection. Stand again. And we thank you, Father, that we're your servants, and you've gave the opportunity for us to cause this building to stand again as a light and a testimony to your goodness and your power. And it'll shine around the world, and it'll be all for your glory. And we just love being a part of you. We declare each other healthy, wealthy, strong, victorious. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we remain on the earth, and we remain strong on the earth to be your voice, to be your hands, to be your heart, to reach out to a hurting world that has not heard the truth. And we will be bold proclaimers, sometimes with words, but we will be bold proclaimers of the goodness of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ from now until we see you face to face. That's our declaration. That's what we believe. And the people said, amen. All right.